My pleasure to be speaking with Gail McNichols Oliver, who is associated with GleanSlow, the gleaning arm of the San Luis Obispo County, California Food Bank. Gail is going to tell us about how GleanSlow began, her position with it, and how it fits in with the food bank. But first of all, I need to give everybody a little geography lesson. San Luis Obispo County is the second largest county geographically in the state of California. And it ranges from Monterey County in the north to Santa Barbara County in the south. And it includes a wonderful coastal area with Hearst Castle in the north and Pismo Beach in the south. You've probably heard of the Pismo clam, or you've probably heard of the monarch butterflies and how they spend part of the season in Pismo Beach. That's on the coast. Well, the county is divided in half by a coastal range of mountains. And so we have South County, which includes the county seat, San Luis Obispo, and then Cuesta Grade divides the county. That's part of the mountain range. And then the North County is a number of smaller towns with such interesting names as Santa Margarita, Atascadero, which is Spanish for the mud hole. And then we have Templeton, Paso Robles, which in Spanish means the Pass of the Oaks, and then San Miguel, of course, St. Michael. So, Gail, please tell us how GleanSlow began and your part in it.
Well, I'll start by telling you how I became interested in gleaning. And when I reflect back on it, I realize that I grew up gleaning. I grew up in an agricultural area with a mother who never wasted anything. I grew up in a house where the roast that we had on Sunday night lasted all week long and eventually made its way into soup at the end of the week. And we also spent summers at U-Pick Farms, where we would pick our own produce, and my mother would make wonderful use of it throughout the year with canning and such. But it wasn't until about 2006 when a group of friends and I were talking about economic times and that we wanted to see a change in our community that was more inclusive of people who would share what they had. And we were a very loose-knit group. I like to think of ourselves as kind of rogue guerrillas. And we began thinking about the idea of our own gardens and sharing with others. So through research, one of our friends, Amy White, found an organization in Moscow, Idaho. And that was a woman by the name of Amy Gray, who one year had planted lettuce seeds and realized that for a small family, when you plant a packet of lettuce seeds, you will get hundreds of heads of lettuce. And she wanted to share that bounty. Amy was a graphic designer, and she ultimately organized what was the first backyard harvest. And that movement was based on the premise of grow an extra row for the needy. And so we liked that concept, and we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And so we organized the Paso Robles backyard harvest. It was a very small group of volunteers, and as we started with our advertising and word of mouth, it became very, very clear that there were many, many needs. People who were food insecure that needed food, and people who wanted to give. And so the phone number actually was my home. And after a relatively short period of time, the phone never stopped ringing and the message box was full. And I spent a lot of time going out to people's backyard gardens and harvesting their gardens while they were on vacation or if they had an overabundance. And sometimes they would just present me with these beautiful boxes of produce. So that's how we began. As I was doing this, I really started taking joy in the phone calls from people who had a fruit tree, for example. And when I went to harvest the tree, it would be someone who, because of their age, could no longer harvest, but they really wanted to sit and tell me about the history of that tree, how it was planted, who gave it to them, and the many decades of love they'd had from that tree. And they would always ask me to just leave a little bit of harvested fruit for them and take the rest. And so it was really giving me a sense of community, where I would sit with people and get to know people. And that really brought me a lot of joy. After about a year, it became a full-time job for all of us involved, and the other members of the group had busy families and other jobs, and after a couple of years, it was really just left to me, and it was more than a full-time job. I was spending all of my time gleaning and connecting with people and chasing my friends down. It got to the point where they would see me in the market and quickly disappear. My front yard would be filled with bags of zucchinis and tomatoes every summer. We eventually sold that house, but I think the new owner still doesn't understand why there are boxes of zucchinis and other vegetables that just mysteriously appear in their front yard. That wasn't something that I disclosed. But through the practice of giving in the community, I was made acutely aware of the people in the community that were food insecure. And this was probably 2008, 2009, when the recession hit very, very hard. And there were many people who were going without food, and this was something that was new for them. And they didn't really want to talk about it. And just as I was getting to the point where I couldn't sustain the organization any longer, I received a phone call from someone in San Luis Obispo. And for purposes of geography, I will say that San Luis Obispo is over the Cuesta Grade, the dividing line, and it's a much larger city than here in Paso Robles. But the San Luis Obispo folks had been very interested in what we'd been doing with Glean Slow, and they were interested in doing something very similar. So Carolyn Eicher came and rescued me at a time when I just couldn't do it anymore. And so she took the ideas and the things that I had learned while gleaning here in the north of the county, and she developed a program in San Luis Obispo that eventually became Glean Slow. And the premise of Glean Slow was that volunteers would harvest backyard gardens, unused fruit trees, and farms. This county is so rich in agriculture, and virtually every neighborhood that you go to, you will see a fruit tree, many times with fruit that's just laying on the ground. And that's something that Carolyn had noticed as well. And the organization that ultimately became Glean Slow initially addressed those neighborhoods, and she made fly door knockers where neighborhood members would put a door knocker on a door handle saying, "We've noticed that you have a fruit tree that you're not using. Can we come harvest it for you?" And eventually, Caroline, again, it became a very large job, and she partnered with the food bank of the county. And so GleanSlow is now an agency partner under the umbrella of the food bank, and that allowed the organization to have insurance and some other kinds of related legal issues that made it much easier to function as an organization. And they eventually hired people who just staffed GleanSlow, and so we now have five full-time members, including two AmeriCorps volunteers. I still maintained my passion for gleaning, and one of the things that GleanSlow did here in the North County, we have a wonderful farmers market in a community that Jerry mentioned called Templeton. And every Saturday at the farmers market, we started handing out food bank boxes and would ask the farmers, would you like to donate to the food bank today? And families would adopt a Saturday morning. And so my family adopted the first Saturday of the month with me. And we would pass out those boxes. And initially, it was very difficult to do because some of the people shopping would say, well, why are you gathering this beautiful local produce for the food bank? And the farmers would say, well, why are you asking me for this food? And I would explain to them, the food that you give me today goes out the door Monday morning to feed the senior nutrition program, to feed the kids at the school districts in Shandon and San Miguel. And it really seemed to turn a light bulb on for them. They'd say, oh. And they started donating. And as they became part of the program, they realized that they could benefit on their farms by having these volunteers go out and harvest. It was a win-win for everyone, that practice. And many, many farmers at the Templeton Farmers Market became extremely enthusiastic. About 2 years ago, there was a fire up in Yosemite, and my family had had a piece of property in a home there for five generations, and we'd all built it. It was every generation had their handprint, their DNA on that house. And it was lost in one of the California fires that we see on the news. And we lost the entire house as well as 10 acres. There was absolutely nothing left. It melted the fireplace, it melted everything, and every single tree had required clear cutting on the property. And so I had spent 5 days up there sifting through the ashes, and it was really very traumatic. And I suddenly remembered I had to glean. And so I drove 3.5 hours that Saturday morning, and I had my boxes, and I was sitting on the park bench eating my taco thinking, I am so tired. And I looked around, and all of the boxes had been picked up, and they were all coming back to me full. And it just gave me this feeling of absolute joy and appreciation. And I realized that all the Saturdays that I'd spent there explaining to people what our food bank did, why it was important to share this with people, what it did for people, had really resulted in a level of consciousness at that market where everybody knew the GleanSlow person, what they were there for, and were perfectly happy. And it even evolved to the point where if we forgot a box, we would get phone calls saying, you forgot to pick up my box of produce. When I look at the numbers that are provided to the food bank, it's absolutely staggering what one little farmer's market can actually produce. I think last Saturday we had 420 pounds of produce. not too long ago, one of the farmers who actually markets a product, he makes hummus and fabulous guacamole. And I like to give a shout out to Paul McCall because so many people love his product that he sells at the markets. And one day he said, why don't you ever ask me to donate? And I said, well, Paul, you have a product that I really hadn't thought about. And he said, well, I want to be part of this project. I want to be able to give. And he has been so generous in his support, providing tubs of delicious hummus and avocado. And I was so touched by him. And he explained that he was having a very difficult year. He'd lost his father. And he said, you know, it just feels so right to give back. I need to start practicing this in my life. And I was really touched by that. So for me personally, to be able to make connections in the community and realize that in this community there is so much support. And I've always known that I'm so lucky to live here. The generosity of people and seeing that it really, really makes a difference to the people that this food goes to. 49% of what our food bank provides to the food insecure is now fresh produce, which is a staggering statistic when you look at food banks across the nation. We now have literally hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that sign up for these cleans, and sometimes we have to turn people away because there's so many people that want to go out. One of our very generous donors is Tally Farms in our South County, who regularly opens up their fields to our volunteers to allow us to harvest their produce. We have another seasonal farmer who grows the most amazing organic corn, and I have to tell you, I've met some great friends in cornfields. So the act of gleaning has given me things that are really irreplaceable. And every week as I'm involved in a glean, I meet someone new. I learn something new through the act of gleaning. And it's been a gift for me. And I still am able to visit those people whose trees I gleaned years ago. And sometimes I will take them something. So it's really developed roots within the community for me that have enriched my life tremendously. And I like to tell stories about the people that I meet and the farmers we've encountered. One of my favorite farmers is Mike Broadhurst, who has a farm in Cambria, and he grows citrus and avocados and blueberries. And the first time I asked Mike if he wanted a box for the food bank, he looked at me and he was very cranky, and he said, absolutely not. And I started talking to him about what happened to this produce, and Mike has become one of our biggest supporters. He's this huge fan. We go out regularly to his farms that he's opened up to us for blueberry harvests and avocado harvests. And he's just one of our huge supporters. And he said it's literally changed the way he's seen things in the county. And so making those changes one person at a time has really been a gift for me personally, as well as for the county. The food bank has 200 programs that they partner with, feeding programs, and people regularly shop at the food bank to provide food for whatever program they're servicing. And to be able to go to this fresh produce instead of canned fruit and syrup has made a huge difference in the health of people, but also in letting people have an awareness of allowing children to see where their food comes from and develop an appreciation for that. Gleaning has such a long history, and you know that it's mentioned in the Bible, and people have been doing it for, I think, forever. And to be able to do that in this county that is so abundant, and each year we grow stronger. I think the number that I read yesterday was that we've collected over 142,000 pounds of produce. And think bok choy, think lettuce. That is a lot of produce. So it is making a difference in our county and for me as well. I can't just stop doing it. Just when I get to the point where I think I need to stop doing this for a while, something will come up, and I will be called to go inspire people to spend some time in the fields. It's really rewarding to see that a movement where people were kind of avoiding me at the market because they simply couldn't glean anymore, to where we have to turn people away. It's been very rewarding to see that in the community.
Can you give us some examples of other kinds of gleaning that may be going on, such as gleaning at restaurants or at supermarkets or at schools?
Yes, I can, actually. When we first started, one of our groups, husband was the produce manager at one of our local markets, and they became big donors from their produce department. And now all of our stores donate to us or to the food bank weekly. We do have to be mindful about the laws and food regulations, and so there are a number of things that we need to direct in areas other than the food bank, and we have not been able to glean from restaurants at this point because of legal reasons. We are happy to see that there's a program that's recently been launched to pick up those kinds of things and use them to convert to energy. And that's a new project that I just learned about from one of our steering committee members. So there are some things that we can't do. When I come across a box of, for example, loose leaf spinach, I'm not allowed to take that to the food bank, but because we have so many resources in just in my little town, I know who to take it to, who is going to use that. And that's something the directory of food sources that I've become familiar with just by being engaged and involved in this process. So we do try and not waste. And I think that's the take home for me, is having grown up in a family where things were not wasted. You know, I've just carried this with me into my senior years and continue to embrace that and teach that. The steering committee for Glean Slow is made up of 8 very passionate people, and we work with farmers and the rare fruit growers and the community activists. So we really try and branch out into many, many arms in our communities, in our community government, and try and educate at elementary school. It's been very rewarding to see all the gardens that have been planted in elementary schools, and we now have enough produce that we have opened children's farmers markets in the schools. And this allows the kids to, they use tokens as money, but it allows them to go through the process of walking through a farmer's market, making decisions about what they're going to be eating, what their family needs, and how to spend their money wisely.